Letters from Father Christmas by J.R.R. Tolkien. Read by Derek Jacobi. Christmas House, North Pole, 22nd of December 1920. Dear John, I heard you ask Daddy what I was like and where I lived. I have drawn me and my house for you. Take care of the picture. I am just off now for Oxford with my bundle of toys. Some for you. Hope I shall arrive in time. The snow is very thick at the North Pole tonight. Your loving Father Christmas. North Pole, Christmas Eve, 1923. My dear John, it is very cold today, and my hand is very shaky. I am 7 years old on Christmas Day, lots older than your great-grandfather, so I can't stop the pen wobbling. But I hear that you are getting so good at reading that I expect you will be able to read my letter. I send you lots of love, and lots for Michael, too, and lots bricks, too, which are called that because there are lots more for you to have next year, if you let me know in good time. I think they are prettier and stronger and tidier than picker bricks, so I hope you will like them. Now I must go. It is a lovely fine night, and I have got hundreds of miles to go before morning. There is such a lot to do. A cold kiss. From Father Nicholas Christmas. December the 23rd, 1924. Dear John, I hope you have a happy Christmas. Only time for a short letter. My sleigh is waiting. Lots of new stockings to fill this year. I hope you will like station and things. A big kiss. With love from Father Christmas. Dear Michael Hillary, I am very busy this year. No time for letter. Lots of love. Hope the engine goes well. Take care of it. A big kiss. With love from Father Christmas. Cliff House, top of the world, near the North Pole, Christmas 1925. My dear boys, I am dreadfully busy this year. It makes my hand more shaky than ever when I think of it. And not very rich. In fact, awful things have been happening, and some of the presents have got spoilt. And I haven't got the North Polar Bear to help me. And I've had to move house just before Christmas, so you can imagine what a state everything is in. And you will see why I have a new address, and why I can only write one letter between you both. It all happened like this. One very windy day, last November, my hood blew off, and went and stuck on the top of the North Pole. I told him not to, but the North Polar Bear climbed up to the thin top to get it down. And he did. The pole broke in the middle, and fell on the roof of my house, and the North Polar Bear fell through the hole it made into the dining room with my hood over his nose, and all the snow fell off the roof into the house and melted, and put out all the fires, and ran down into the cellars, where I was collecting this year's presents, and the North Polar Bear's leg got broken. He is well again now, but I was so cross with him that he says he won't try to help me again. I expect his temper is hurt, and will be mended by next Christmas. I send you a picture of the accident, and of my new house on the cliffs above the North Pole, with beautiful cellars in the cliffs. If John can't read my old shaky writing, 1,925 years old, he must get his father to. When is Michael going to learn to read, and write his own letters to me? Lots of love to you both, and Christopher, whose name is rather like mine. That's all. Goodbye. Father Christmas.
P.S. Father Christmas was in a great hurry. Told me to put in one of his magic wishing crackers. As you pull, wish, and see if it doesn't come true. Excuse thick writing. I have a fat paw. I help Father Christmas with his packing. I live with him. I am the Great Polar Bear.
Cliff House, top of the world, near the North Pole, Monday, December the 20th, 1926. My dear boys, I am more shaky than usual this year. The North Polar Bear's fault. It was the biggest bang in the world, and the most monstrous firework there ever has been. It turned the North Pole black, and shook all the stars out of place, broke the moon into four. And the man in it fell into my back garden. He ate quite a lot of my Christmas chocolates before he said he felt better, and climbed back to mend it and get the stars tidy. Then I found out that the reindeer had broken loose. They were running all over the country, breaking reins and ropes and tossing presents up in the air. They were all packed up to start, you see. Yes, it only happened this morning. It was a sleigh load of chocolate things, which I always send to England early. I hope yours are not badly damaged. But isn't the North Polar Bear silly? And he isn't a bit sorry. Of course he did it. You remember I had to move last year because of him? The tap for turning on the Rory Bory Alice fireworks is still in the cellar of my old house. The North Polar Bear knew he must never, never touch it. I only let it off on special days, like Christmas. He says he thought it was cut off since we moved. Anyway, he was nosing round the ruins this morning, soon after breakfast. He hides things to eat there, and turned on all the northern lights for 2 years in one go. You have never heard or seen anything like it. I've tried to draw a picture of it, But I am too shaky to do it properly. And you can't paint fizzing light, can you? I think the polar bear has spoilt the picture, rather, by going and putting a bit of his own in the middle about me chasing the reindeer and him laughing. Of course he can't draw with those great fat paws.
Rude. I can. And right without shaking.
He did laugh, too. So did I, when I saw him trying to draw reindeer and inking his nice white paws.
Father Christmas had to hurry away and leave me to finish. He is old and gets worried when funny things happen. You would have laughed, too. I think it is good of me laughing. It was a lovely firework. The reindeer will run quick to England this year. They are still frightened. I must go and help pack. I don't know what Father Christmas would do without me. He always forgets what a lot of packing I do for him. The snowman is addressing our envelopes this year. He is Father Christmas's gardener. But we don't get much but snowdrops and frost ferns to grow here. He always writes in white, just with his finger. A Merry Christmas to you from North Polar Bear.
And love from Father Christmas to you all. Cliff House, top of the world, near the North Pole. Wednesday, December the 21st, 1927. My dear people, there seem to get more and more of you every year. I get poorer and poorer. Still, I hope that I have managed to bring you all something you wanted, though not everything you asked for. Michael and Christopher, I haven't heard from John this year. I suppose he's growing too big and won't even hang up his stocking soon. It has been so bitter at the North Pole lately that the North Polar Bear has spent most of the time asleep and has been less use than usual this Christmas.
Everybody does sleep most of the time here in winter, especially Father Christmas.
The North Pole became colder than any cold thing has ever been, and when the North Polar Bear put his nose against it, it took the skin off. Now it is bandaged with red flannel. Why did he? I don't know. But he is always putting his nose where it oughtn't to be. Into my cupboards, for instance.
That's because I am hungry.
Also, it has been very dark here since winter began. We haven't seen the sun, of course, for 3 months. But there are no northern lights this year. You remember the awful accident last year? There will be none again until the end of 1928. The North Polar Bear has got his cousin and distant friend, the Great Bear, to shine extra bright for us, and this week I have hired a comet to do my packing by. But it doesn't work as well. The North Polar Bear has not really been any more sensible this year.
I have been perfectly sensible, and have learnt to write with a pen in my mouth instead of a paintbrush.
Yesterday, he was snowballing the snowman in the garden, and pushed him over the edge of the cliff, so that he fell into my sleigh at the bottom and broke lots of things. One of them was himself. I used some of what was left of him to paint my white picture. We shall have to make ourselves a new gardener when we are less busy. The man in the moon paid me a visit the other day. A fortnight ago, exactly. He often does about this time, as he gets lonely in the moon, and we make him a nice little plum pudding. He is so fond of things with plums in. His fingers were cold, as usual, and the North Polar Bear made him play snapdragons to warm them. Of course, he burnt them, and then he licked them, and then he liked the brandy, and then the bear gave him lots more, and he went fast asleep on the sofa. Then I went down into the cellars to make crackers, and he rolled off the sofa, and the wicked bear pushed him underneath, and forgot all about him. He can never be away a whole night from the moon, but he was this time.
I have never been expected to look after the man in the moon before. I was very nice to him, and he was very comfy under the sofa.
Suddenly the snowman, he wasn't broken then, rushed in out of the garden next day just after tea time and said the moon was going out. The dragons had come out and were making an awful smoke and smother. We rolled him out and shook him, and he simply whizzed back. But it was ages before he got things quite cleared up. I believe he had to let loose one of his simply terrificalist freezing magics before he could drive the dragons back into their holes, and that is why it has got so cold down here. The polar bear only laughs when I tell him it's his fault, and he curls up on my hearth rug and won't do anything but snore. My messengers told me that you have somebody from Iceland staying with you. That is not so far from where I live, and nearly as cold. People don't hang up stockings there, and usually pass by in a hurry, though I sometimes pop down and leave a thing or two for their very jolly Christmas trees. My usual way is down through Norway, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, and then back through Germany, northern France, Belgium, and so into England. And on the way home, I pass over the sea, and sometimes Iceland, and I can see the twinkling lights faint in the valleys under their mountains. But I go by quick, as my reindeer gallop as hard as they can there. They always say they are frightened a volcano or a geyser will go off underneath them. This must be all. I have written you a very long letter this year, as there was nothing to draw but dark and snow and stars. Love to you all, and happiness next year. Your loving Father Christmas. Top of the World, North Pole, Thursday, December the 20th, 1928. My dear boys, another Christmas, and I am another year older. And so are you. I feel quite well, all the same. Very nice of Michael to ask, and not quite so shaky. But that is because we have got all the lighting and heating right again, after the cold, dark year we had in 1927. You remember about it? And I expect you remember whose fault it was. What do you think the poor dear old bear has been and done this time? Nothing as bad as letting off all the lights. Only fell from top to bottom of the main stairs on Thursday.
Who'd left the soap on the stairs? Not me.
We were beginning to get the first lot of parcels down out of the storerooms into the hall. Polar Bear would insist on taking an enormous pile on his head as well as lots in his arms. Bang, rumble, clatter, crash, awful moanings and growlings. I ran out onto the landing and saw he had fallen from top to bottom onto his nose, leaving a trail of balls, bundles, parcels and things all the way down, and he had fallen on top of some and smashed them. I hope you got none of these by accident. I have drawn you a picture of it all. Polar Bear was rather grumpy at my drawing it.
Of course. Naturally.
He says my Christmas pictures always make fun of him, and that one year he will send one drawn by himself of me, being idiotic. But, of course, I never am. And he can't draw well enough.
Yes, I can.
He joggled my arm and spoilt the little picture at the bottom, of the moon laughing and Polar Bear shaking his fist at it. When he had picked himself up, he ran out of doors and wouldn't help clear up, because I sat on the stairs and laughed as soon as I found there was not much damage done. That is why the moon smiled. But the part showing Polar Bear angry was cut off, because he smudged it. But anyway, I thought you would like a picture of the inside of my new big house for a change. The chief hall is under the largest dome, where we pile the presents usually, ready to load on the sleighs at the doors. Polar Bear and I built it nearly all ourselves, and laid all the blue and mauve tiles. The banisters and roof are not quite straight.
Not my fault. Father Christmas did the banisters.
But it doesn't really matter. I painted pictures on the walls of the trees and stars and suns and moons. Then I said to Polar Bear, I shall leave the frieze, F-R-I-E-Z-E, to you. He said, I should have thought there was enough frieze outside, and your colours inside, all purply, grey, bluey, pale, greeny, are cold enough too. I said, don't be a silly bear. Do your best. There's a good old Polar. And what a result. Icicles all round the hall to make a frieze. F-R-E-E-Z-E. He can't spell very well. And fearful bright colours to make a warm frieze. Well, my dears, I hope you will like the things I'm bringing. Nearly all you asked for, and lots of other little things you didn't, and which I thought of at the last minute. I hope you will share the railway things, and farm and animals often, and not think they are absolutely only for the one whose stocking they were in. Take care of them, for they are some of my very best things. Love to Chris, love to Michael, love to John, who must be getting very big, as he doesn't write to me any more. So I simply had to guess paints. I hope they were all right. Polar Bear chose them. He says he knows what John likes, because John likes bears. Your loving Father Christmas.
And my love, Polar Bear.
Boxing Day, 1928. I am frightfully sorry. I gave this to the Polar Bear to post, and he forgot all about it. We found it on the hall table today. But you must forgive him. He has worked very hard for me, and is dreadfully tired. We have had a very busy Christmas. Very windy here. It blew several sleighs over before they could start. Love again, Father Christmas.
November 1929. Dear boys, my paw is better. I was cutting Christmas trees when I hurt it. Don't you think my writing is much better, too? Father Christmas is very busy already. So am I. We have had heavy snow, and some of our messengers got buried, and some lost. That is why you have not heard lately. Love to John for his birthday. Father Christmas says my English spelling is not good. I can't help it. We don't speak English here, only Arctic, which you don't know. We also make our letters different. I have made mine like Arctic letters for you to see. This is some Arctic language, which means goodbye till I see you next, and I hope it will be soon. Mar mesta an ni vela tie ento yarato nea. Polar bear. My real name is Carhu, but I don't tell most people. P.S. I like letters, and think Christopher's are nice.
Top of the World, North Pole, Christmas 1929. Dear boys and girl, it is a light Christmas again, I'm glad to say. The northern lights have been specially good. There is a lot to tell you. You have heard that the great polar bear chopped his paw when he was cutting Christmas trees. His right one, I mean not his left. Of course it was wrong to cut it. And a pity, too, for he spent a lot of the summer learning to write better so as to help me with my winter letters. We had a bonfire this year, to please the polar bear, to celebrate the coming in of winter. The snow elves let off all the rockets together, which surprised us both. I have tried to draw you a picture of it, but really there were hundreds of rockets. You can't see the elves at all against the snow background. The bonfire made a hole in the ice, and woke up the great seal, who happened to be underneath. The polar bear let off 20,000 silver sparklers afterwards, used up all my stock, so that is why I had none to send you. Then he went for a holiday, to North Norway, and stayed with a woodcutter called Olaf, and came back with paw all bandaged just at the beginning of our busy times. There seem more children than ever in England, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, and Germany, which are the countries I specially look after, and, of course, North America and Canada. Not to speak of getting stuff down to the South Pole for children who expect to be looked after, though they have gone to live in New Zealand or Australia or South Africa or China. It is a good thing clocks don't tell the same time all over the world, or I should never get round. Although, when my magic is strongest, at Christmas, I can do about 1,000 stockings a minute, if I have it all planned out beforehand. You could hardly guess the enormous piles of lists I make out. I seldom get them mixed. But I am rather worried this year. In my office and packing room, the polar bear reads out names while I copy them down. We had awful gales here, worse than you did, tearing clouds of snow to a million tatters, screaming like demons, burying my house almost up to the roofs. Just at the worst, the polar bear said it was stuffy, and opened a north window before I could stop him. You can guess the result. The North Polar Bear was buried in papers and lists, but that did not stop him laughing. Also, all my red and green ink was upset, as well as black. So I'm writing in chalk and pencil. I have some black ink left, and the polar bear is using it to address parcels. I liked all your letters, very much indeed, my dears. Nobody, or very few, writes so much or so nicely to me. I'm specially pleased with Christopher's card, and his letters, and with his learning to write. So I'm sending him a fountain pen, and also a special picture for himself. It shows me crossing the sea on the upper north wind, while a southwest gale, reindeer hate it, is raising big waves below. This must be all now. I send you all my love. One more stocking to fill this year. I hope you will like your new house and the things I bring you. Your old Father Christmas. November the 28th, 1930. Father Christmas has got all your letters. What a lot! Especially from Christopher and Michael. I am just beginning to get awfully busy. Let me know more about what you specially want. Polar Bear sends love. He is just getting better. He has had whooping cough. Father Nicholas Christmas. Top of the World, North Pole, Christmas 1930. Not finished until Christmas Eve, 24th of December. My dears, I have enjoyed all your letters. I'm dreadfully sorry there has been no time to answer them, and even now I have not time to finish my picture for you properly, or to send you a full long letter like I meant to. I hope you will like your stockings this year. I tried to find what you asked for, but the stores have been rather a muddle. You see, the polar bear has been ill. He had whooping cough, first of all. I could not let him help with the packing and sorting, which begins in November, because it would be simply awful if any of my children caught polar whooping cough and barked like bears on Boxing Day. So I had to do everything myself in the preparations. Of course, Polar Bear has done his best. He cleaned up and mended my sleigh, and looked after the reindeer while I was busy. That is how the really bad accident happened. Early this month, we had a most awful snowstorm, nearly 6 feet of snow, followed by an awful fog. The poor Polar Bear went out to the reindeer stables and got lost, and nearly buried. I did not miss him or go to look for him for a long while. His chest had not got well from whooping cough, so this made him frightfully ill, and he was in bed until 3 days ago. Everything has gone wrong, and there has been no one to look after my messengers properly. Aren't you glad the polar bear is better? We had a party of snow boys, sons of the snowmen, which are the only sort of people that live near. Not, of course, men made of snow, though my gardener, who was the oldest of all the snowmen, sometimes draws a picture of a made snowman instead of writing his name. And polar cubs, the polar bear's nephews, on Saturday, as soon as he felt well enough. He didn't eat much tea, but when the big cracker went off after, he threw away his rug and leapt in the air, and has been well ever since. I've drawn you pictures of everything that happened. Polar Bear telling a story after all the tea things have been cleared away. Me finding Polar Bear in the snow, and Polar Bear sitting with his feet in hot mustard and water to stop him shivering. It didn't, and he sneezed so terribly he blew 5 candles out. Still, he is all right now. I know, because he's been at his tricks again, quarrelling with the snowman, my gardener, and pushing him through the roof of his snow house, and packing lumps of ice instead of presents in naughty children's parcels. That might be a good idea, only he never told me, and some of them, with ice, were put in warm storerooms and melted all over good children's presents. Well, my dears, there is lots more I should like to say about my green brother and my father, old Grandfather Yule, and why we were both called Nicholas after the saint, whose day is December the 6th, who used to give secret presents, sometimes throwing purses of money through the window. But I must hurry away. I am late already, and I am afraid you may not get this in time. Kisses to you all. Father Nicholas Christmas. P.S. Chris has no need to be frightened of me.